The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This episode of the JB and Benny Blue Review is brought to you by our friends at SavageCBD.com. Get the best in CBD products and get a deal while you're at it. Use our code REVIEW, that's REVIEW, for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Go to SavageCBD.com right now.
Hey, Bird Gang, it's your boy, former Cardinal Jeremy Bridges. Tune into the number one podcast on the web, my show, JB and Benny Blue Review, right here on KSRN Arizona.
What's up? What's up? What's up, good people?
Yeah,
you are back. You're back, baby. Episode 213. Mm-hmm. JB and Benny Blue Review. That's right. Mm-hmm. For your live streaming pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the pretty little girls in pretty little girl land out there. All right, I want you to just peek over your shoulder, honey. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the great Manny Fresh, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to that song earlier, man. What great music back in the day, man. Just real. Yeah, so shout out to all the good people out there, man. You know what I'm saying? Welcome back to the JB and Benny Review. This is episode 213. All right, that's right. 201 and a 3.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You want to rock with us, man. Follow us at at JB and Benny Blue. On all social media, okay? Get with us, you know what I'm saying? We usually follow back, you know what I'm saying? Unless you're trash, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
We don't know that you're trash, you know what I'm saying, in the beginning. But, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you show yourself to be trash.
They prove it. They prove themselves.
Oh, they do. Yeah. It's only so long, you know what I'm saying? You know the rest. All right, so follow myself on my personal page at 73KingJB73 and the man himself, Benny, at Benny Blue Eyes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's our at IGs. You know what I'm saying? You can find content for our personal. Of course, you know what I'm saying? You can get with us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Like, share, subscribe, man. We like them five-star reviews. You know what I'm saying? Tell your friends about us. You know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody knows that we out here. You damn right. We're available on CasualSports.com. We live stream radio in the beautiful city of Phoenix, the greater city of Phoenix, the Valley of the Sun where I reside. And, of course, the Valley High. You better know that. The Believe Podcast Network. We appreciate you all and all our brothers and sisters podcast. We love y'all. You can mess with me on Tuesday nights, man. The Burning Bridges podcast is live streaming at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on Twitter at AAT Sports _ and at AAT Birds. That's the All About the Birds family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're sponsored by the Valley Boys Association. Call the line, man. Go to valleyboysassociation.com and use the promo code PODCAST22. That's all caps. All right. For 20% off your order at checkout, man, they got hot gear, man. These young cats come with some fire.
Fire!
Listen, I gotta get some stuff special made for my birthday, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, and, look at this. The top of the Valley Hot, ooh wee.
Because it's Valley Hot, baby, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, it's what it is, you know what I'm saying? These cats is crazy. I can't wait to rock. I'm gonna be rocking all Valley Boys Association shit all summer, right? I'm gonna be a walking billboard for these young cats, man. I love it. I'm gonna be out in L.A. with it. You know what I'm saying?
Love it.
Most likely be out of Miami for my birthday with it. You know what I'm saying? You know how it go, man. Also, man, we're sponsored by
Miami.
How'd you say? It's timtobuy.com. timtobuy.com. You're looking for a new whip? You know what I'm saying? Pre-owned vehicle? New? Don't matter. Text all caps review 515-444-7003 at itstimtobuy on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Rock with us, man. I got Tim to get you what you need. You know what I'm saying? He's your pusher. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to these whips. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, you know what it is, man. Get with us, man. Hey, mail, love mail. Don't matter. Questions, ideas. JBandBennyReview@gmail.com. Serious business inquiries only. You know what I'm saying?
Please.
Right. Please. Now, you know what I'm saying? Everybody that's logging in, tapping in with us, we appreciate all of our returning viewers. We love y'all to death. And to our new people, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Jeremy Bridges, you know what I'm saying, 10-year NFL veteran. And everybody knows me as King JB. And, of course, the man to my left.
You're right. Camera left.
My, camera left. You know what I'm saying? It's the great Ludini himself, man. Benefit Ryan Smith III. You know what I'm saying? The pride of Kalamazoo, Michigan. You know what I'm saying?
That's Muskegon. Hey, wait, wait, wait. Muskegon, Michigan. Come on now. Muskegon, Michigan. Shout out to the ski. Muskegon. Shout out to the 231. That's where my where our folks reside now. All good.
Muskegon, Michigan. All right.
West Michigan family. Yep.
But were you, like, so you were, like, so you're from Muskegon?
Yes, born and raised.
Oh, okay, okay. See, I've been getting that wrong, so I got to change that up. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're good. Trust me. Dr. Bridges, one of these days, is going to be running the official Jeremy Bridges fucking Savage Camp one of these days out of the Muskegon area.
Okay, and, I'm all for it.
He'll be getting that bag. Don't worry about it.
I got some folks out there in Michigan, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, coming up, we got some review reaction news. We're going to be getting into some NFL honors. Of course, they announce all, you know, the MVPs and the rookies of the year and players of the year. Of course, you got to react to this Super Bowl halftime show and a little bit of Mo, plus recapping the Super Bowl. And the day has finally come after a long 18-week season plus the playoffs, announcing the official Savage Picks winner of the year. Speaking of Miami, we got a date in Miami, baby.
Being bonito, Miami.
But speaking of Super Bowl, Dr. Bridges, what did you do this year to partake? Were you watching it by yourself? Were you hanging out with some folks? Were you having some food, some drink?
I slid down to shout out to Founding Fathers. You know what I'm saying? Founding Fathers Kitchen at the bar. My man Mark owns it. And we went out there, man, and hung out with some of the OGs. You know what I'm saying? It's always a good time. Now, it is a bona fide biker bar, but it's still a good time. You know what I'm saying? Some good, clean fun. I was down there for probably the first half of the game. Slid back up the highway, stopped at a couple people's house, some folks. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my bro, them. You know what I'm saying? Chilled for a little bit, drank a beer, watched the third quarter, and then I came on back up top and came up just in time to see the Rams get their first championship. As LA Rams,
correct.
Now, they never won a championship when they were LA before, right?
Greatest show on turf, and they got it done there.
When they moved to St. Louis, they won a championship. But the last time they were in LA, they didn't win a championship, right?
No.
Okay, didn't. So their first championship as the LA Rams. LA. All right.
That's
so,
right.
So shout out to them, man, and their parade they had today, and all 37 people that were there. it's great. You know what I'm saying? It's a good time. You know what I'm saying? But
half of them are the Niners jerseys. Shit.
Right, exactly. They had Niners jerseys, Chargers jerseys, Raiders jerseys. You know what I'm saying?
Cowboys jerseys.
A couple Cowboys jerseys in there. Steelers jerseys sprinkled in. Yeah, you know how LA do it. You know what I'm saying? Just here's what it is. So, but shout out to the Rams. One thing I spoke about last time on the Burning Bridges podcast, and I'm going to commend the Rams for the way that they developed the team and consistently put together a team that was full of solid football players. One of the greatest things you can be deemed as an NFL football player is solid. That means they know what you're going to get from you. They know what you know what they're going to get from you every time you touch the football field. Solid players, sprinkling a couple of elites, right? And that's when you win championships. No matter what championship team you've ever seen, even the great Ravens team, which we thought was full of all-stars. No, I mean, Ed Reed and you know what I'm saying? What is that fucking clown's name? the middle linebacker. Why am I drawing a blank when it comes to him? Ray Lewis, right?
Ray Lewis.
And then the host of other guys that was there, you know, seemed as if they were superstars. But that offense didn't have no real big names on it, right?
Nice.
So, I mean, Anquan Boldin was there, you know what I'm saying? I think last time they won a championship, but I'm talking about when Ed Reed won that first year in the 2000s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, Trent Dilfer was the quarterback.
Trent Dilfer was the quarterback. So just a consistent team. And shout out to, you know what I'm saying, the GM at that time, Newsom, Mr. Ozzie Newsom himself, the great Ozzie Newsom. But Snead did a great job of putting together and drafting and bringing in key free agents that weren't superstars anymore, right? That were still solid football players. And developing the guys that they drafted, and shout out to Sean McVay of having a game plan and sticking to it, and being man enough and humble enough to listen to constructive criticism, because his offense was very predictable at one point, where he kind of got out of that. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the reasons why they won. Now, let's keep it a whole buck and a half. If Cincinnati's offensive line would have been any better, they would have won that championship, right?
Next. Well, listen, we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about all that.
Okay, I'm just being completely...
No, you're being real. And speaking of Les Snead, JB, for those who are watching, if you can't see on the screen, Les Snead, excellent troll shirt. it's the meme, it's the Michael Jordan meme where it's his face and it's getting translucent, and in the text it says fuck them picks. He said fuck them picks. We're winning this shit.
Picks.
He gave away 80,000 first rounders.
Dog, first round picks, bro, are so overrated, dog. Like when you just think about it in the big scheme of things, like most first round picks only play for 3 years, and then after that they're going to be backups. You know what I'm saying? Or something like that. Yeah. They just don't fare very well. You know what I'm saying? So,
facts.
I mean, hey, again, Les Snead, hey, I like the way you, I like your style, son. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's facts. As you see what happens with a lot of these quarterbacks, I mean, shit. I mean, listen, Stafford played for my kiddies, and we loved him, and we still love him. But goddamn, son, I mean, he didn't sniff anything close to what he got until he finally got over there. So when you're typically a top-tier pick, unless you're that type of talent who can literally put the franchise on their back, it's usually about where you go. If you end up in a shitty situation, that might screw over the entire trajectory of your career until you either sign somewhere else or force a trade or whatever the case may be. But hey, you know, old Fratty Staff, 1942 Tequila Stafford, did his bid in Detroit. Got the trade, got what he wanted, and then the first year he's there, he put, you know what I'm saying, got them rings and things. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all that. JB, speaking of, you know, top-tier picks and players actually panning out for their franchises, NFL honors, of course, that happens. I really wish they would kind of, like, redo this so they could count the playoffs for the actual MVP. But Rodgers wins his fourth MVP. Burrow, of course, gets comeback player of the year. Of course, he tore his ACL and MCL last year. Jamar Chase, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Micah Parsons, Defensive Rookie of the Year. TJ Watt, Defensive Player of the Year. Cooper Kupp, Offensive Player of the Year. And Mike Vrabel, Coach of the Year. Your overall thoughts on these gentlemen who got awarded, and do you think anybody else should be considered? Anybody else got snubbed? What do you think about this cast?
I think the winners. I think they pretty much got it right. We did our little Burning Bridges Awards, and most of these are right. I thought that Joe Burrow was the NFL MVP, right? If I'm not mistaken,
I agree.
I think I did put Joe Burrow as NFL MVP, or the kid from Indiana, from the Colts, Taylor, right?
Running back, Jonathan Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. I think he, you know what I'm saying, he was more deserving of the MVP to me than Aaron Rodgers was. And then I think that Zach Taylor should have been Coach of the Year, right? Vrabel has done great things in Tennessee, and that's cool. Very consistent, as consistent as you can possibly be since he's been there, they've had success. But if you look at a 2-14 season, a 4-11 season, and now Super Bowl, Zach Taylor, yeah, that sounds like Coach of the Year to me, right? That sounds more like Coach of the Year to me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Vrabel ain't, he's not undeserving of it. It's just that I think that Zach Taylor should have got that award.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that. That brings up the point. They should be doing this after the season. They should be taking into consideration the playoffs, because if you see what Zach Taylor did, I mean, they put out the Titans. And Vrabel is an excellent coach, don't get me wrong, but they've been there and they haven't been able to get over the hump.
They've never got over the hump. Yeah.
You just eloquently explained why Zach Taylor was deserving of the award. And to your point, I agree. Burrow should have got MVP for the simple fact that he had a hell of a season with what he dealt with on the O-line, which we'll get to on our Super Bowl recap. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, JB, for the simple fact that, yo, my man's didn't bitch a lick like Rodgers. Rodgers was bitch, moaning, and complaining every single moment of this fucking season.
Man, listen,
single moment.
It's something like that. And this is kind of the argument about some of these awards, you know what I'm saying, accolades that the NFL has to offer, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to get into the Hall of Fame, of course, but it's like a lot of guys get grandfathered into this because, you know, their name is bigger or, I mean, it's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? The award, I like the coaching job, should go to the most qualified and the best man in that position that has had the success and the man that's going to be put in a position to have great success with that squad. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I'm going to cut a little promo on some Blues Got Time later about having that Hall of Fame conversation way too early about players who are still active. We went in depth about that in past episodes, so make sure to run that back, jbandbennybluereview.com. JB, speaking of Hall of Famers saying real Hall of Fame shit, for the very first time, and this video came out a few days ago from, like, you know, Radio Row from Super Bowl and stuff, all the different, you know, former players there. And God damn it, JB, if it wasn't music to my ears, and I know it will be to your ears, your personal friend of the show, a gentleman that you know and you have a jersey of, Emmitt Smith, had a amazing point for all Cowboys fans out there about the current crop of Cowboys and how Cowboys players and fans alike have a way of, oh, I don't know, riding the wave of the glory days. Let's share this video just to see exactly what he said, because I think he said it to an F and T better than anybody who's ever put the big star on their helmet ever has.
Nice.
Check this out.
Damn it.
You go, you know, Michael Irving was very critical, but it comes from a place of love of the starters and how the stars, rather, and how they didn't show up at the big game. What would be your advice to Dak, to Zeke, to CeeDee, to all those guys on the offense, and how they can go ahead and show up when it counts?
The one thing I would say to any young player, including the ones that you mentioned, is you're not a star yet.
Ooh-wee.
You're not a GOAT yet. And you're not great yet. You have to win championships in order to become all of them.
Talk to him, Evan.
Yes, you're on the most visible football team in the entire world.
True.
And you're playing with a great organization. But your greatness is when you finish, and you finish well. In order to become a legendary, you have to eliminate all of these things that we're talking about. Period. Outside of that, you're going to be living in the shadows of what came before.
Finally, JB, finally, someone who actually put on the Dallas uniform finally says what we've been saying for the entire effing podcast to an effing T. Y'all Emmett, have not done shit yet.
Emmett gets the, you know, slow raise the roof, one of my favorite celebrations. Thank you, Emmett. Finally, you said some shit that makes sense. He's right. Benny, he is correct. Like, Cowboy fans, of course, you know, saying love living the glory days, but these players, and that don't just go for the Cowboys. Let's be completely honest.
Right, right.
Kyler Murray, I hope you heard that, right? Yeah, I'm taking it there, right? Because I've been very critical of Kyler Murray because of what he's did on social media, right? Son, you ain't did shit. Two Pro Bowls don't mean a motherfucking thing, man. It don't. It don't mean nothing. That means you're very popular amongst the people. That's all it means. Right? That means your name is said a lot. So people hear your name a lot, so they vote you to the Pro Bowl. Right? You've had flashes of greatness. Right? You've shown that you can do great things on the football field. But greatness is birthed from consistency. Right? Point blank and period. Greatness is birthed from consistency. You can literally TM that. That's mine. Right, I started that. I said that. I ain't never heard nobody say that, but that's real. I'm gonna say it again. Greatness is birthed by consistency. Right? There's never been a great who hasn't been consistent in what they're doing. None of these cats nowadays, and everybody want to be, you know, they're the greatest this and the greatest. They even Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp had one fucking phenomenal year. Great. Is he the greatest NFL receiver right now? Arguably yes. Right? But it's 1A, 1B between him and Devontae Adams, to be honest. Right? So
he's got to show up next year.
And you got to show and prove next year. You got to show and prove every time you put that damn uniform on and represent for that fucking logo on your helmet. So Emmett has a great point. But that's not just to the Cowboys. That's to all these young players, because all of them think that as soon as they make a hell of a play, like, they think that they the shit. Michael Parsons, you had a great year last year. But guess what? People know how to block you now. They know what you're capable of now. So what you going to do next year? Right? Yeah, that's real. Good. Yeah. Hey, shout out to Emmett.
He put it so perfectly. So Cowboys fans, I know it sickens your stomach not to be able to ride that wave from 95, but the guy who was actually there and part of it is literally telling you to your face.
A huge, you have gigantic, gigantic, gigantic part of it. Like, probably couldn't have did it without him type part.
Oh, 100%. Facts. Yes, especially sir. Especially how offense was run back then and how it ran through Emmett. Oh, 100%, without a doubt. Speaking of not doing just enough yet, oh, JB, we cut a promo here in the last week or two. Well, it happened. Old Khaki Man agrees to an extension through 2026. But the main question is, and no details have been released at the time of this fine broadcast, do you think the buyout is going to be large enough to prevent him from going back to the NFL? What do you think is happening with this whole, oh, I'm with the Vikings, but now I'm going to leverage this to get to the extension, which I think is only one more year than what he had anyway. So he claims he's never going to, he's never going to do it again. He's never going to flirt with the NFL again.
Man, look, soon as another opportunity come along, Jim Harbaugh ain't worried about no goddamn money, bro. You know what I'm saying? The Michigan done paid him so much, goddamn, he done made more money in Michigan than he done made anywhere, right? So he ain't worried about no money, right? He did that so that he can keep kids coming to Michigan, right? Correct. They extended that contract, and they did that. They made a power move. They said, you know what? We're going to extend this contract. So now these kids are going to stay wanting to come to Michigan, right? Even if he does jump ship, which if an opportunity comes up next year, his ass probably will, right? He's the type of person, he wants to have success in the NFL. He's the big brother of the little brother who's had success in the NFL. John Harbaugh, right, has been to, what, 3 Super Bowls since he's been a head coach? He's won one for sure.
Yep, two at least, and the one that he got was over his big bro.
Was over his big brother. So he's still kind of chasing that ghost and saying, you know what? I got to go to the NFL and prove I can be successful there, right? So, yeah, another opportunity comes along, his ass gone. You can mark my words.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you knew it was kind of the power move for him to get the extension. But, yeah, what I'm curious to know is I want to know the details of this contract because, obviously, you know, this past year he took the pay cut. Mm-hmm. And even with his bonuses that he got for getting to the Big Ten Championship and the College Football Playoff, he had actually paid out to his staff. Right. But they lose Josh Gattis. Josh Gattis is now going to be the OC for Miami. He said, mm-hmm. And then he lost Mike McDonald, who went back to the Ravens,
right,
who was the linebackers coach there and is now going to be the DC for the Ravens. Right, so he lost his OC and his DC. So I'm wondering how that's going to affect. It didn't really affect them too much on National Signing Day, thank God. But as you said, he may get a sniff of Cliff's old seat come next year. You're working now you're coach of the Arizona Cardinals, old khaki man, working with Kyler.
He needs a voice of reason. Like, he needs some stability, like the daddy said on Color Purple. And we need some stability around here.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, hey, khaki man, come on, bro. Just keep your shit tight at least for one more year. Speaking of keeping shit tight, it was the halftime show finally for, I think, the first time, which is crazy to think, in NFL history. They had an all-hip-hop-led halftime show, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, and a surprise guest of 50 Cent. But JB, watching this, your overall impressions of the show, the set, do you think it was good? Do you think it was great? Or was it just okay? What did you think when you were making your rounds, clearly, and watching this shit?
Well, I watched the halftime show at Founding Fathers. I thought it was amazing the way they did it, right? I think that it was dope the way they did it, you know what I'm saying, how they had the little building set up, you know what I'm saying, how they had the grid of L.A. They had no choice, man, but to do that in L.A., right?
Yes.
Because L.A. wasn't going to respond to anything else, to be honest, right? They were not going to respond to anything else. And let's be completely honest, right? The Super Bowl is compiled of people that want to come to a Super Bowl and the people that are in that city, right? So, of course, the people in that city, you know what I'm saying, that are rooting for that, especially because of the way that it was conformed with L.A. being the home team and playing their own home stadium. Yeah, so it most compiled of Rams fans, so they had to do that. They had no choice, right? They weren't going to respond to nothing else. There wasn't going to be nobody watching that shit. I think that was probably the most watched halftime show at a game than ever before, right? Those stands were completely packed.
Right.
Nobody moved. Nobody going to the concession stand. All the celebrities were watching. It was the greatest halftime show ever, right? It was. You know what I'm saying? So with everybody that was in there, everybody that was in there did their part. To be honest, everybody did their part. Mary J. Blige, the queen, you know what I'm saying? She got her just due. She sang 2 songs. Killed it like she always does. She ain't never disappointed. Eminem came out, you know what I'm saying, satisfied the white folks. So the white people was like, yes, because they didn't know it. Like, I'm pretty sure they was just like, man, goddamn. I mean, we like this shit, but damn. And when them came out, they were like, hell yeah, we got one. And then when 50 came out, they was excited too, because of course that song in the club, like probably more universal than anything that Dr. Dre and Snoop was rapping. So
as a white person club classic.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know what I'm saying? They still play that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And goddamn. In bars across the United States of America, all right? In parts unknown, you know what I'm saying? Mitch be listening to it when he hangs out.
Yeah, Mitch is dancing that shit right now.
Yeah, Mitch is hanging out at the bar right now. They're playing. So it was the greatest. And Kendrick Lamar. Hey, Kendrick Lamar, you know what I'm saying? So they kind of did a little bit for everybody. So Kendrick Lamar kept it in the late millennial, right? But that was a grown folks halftime show, right?
Correct.
It was a grown folk. And that's who was watching Super Bowl. Kids don't watch Super Bowl, bro. They don't. Kids don't watch. These kids don't watch Super Bowl. They don't care about the Super Bowl. Right? They don't care about
football. If they are, they're not paying attention.
Like right. They don't care about football. So they did exactly what they're supposed to do for the city of LA. Great job.
Yeah, and I thought the set was very dope. I thought it was very cool that they had LA and Compton staples like Tam's Burgers, mm-hmm. and they had like other places. Of course, they had like staples, you know, Lowrider, you know, shit. Snoop was cripping a fool up there. He was not.
And shout out to Jeremy Strong. You know what I'm saying? Previous guest on our show.
Hey.
Shout out to Jeremy Strong.
Was he on stage?
He was out there dancing, man. He danced the whole show.
Friend of the show, Jeremy Strong.
A couple other folks, you know what I'm saying? I know from the G Train family was dancing, you know what I'm saying? I want to say her name is Tamara, something like that. She was out there getting to it. Like, yeah, we had some folks out there doing their thing.
The show out there. Okay.
But it was just dope, man. It was dope, man.
Now, I could have used, I'm guessing just knowing how the man feels about the league, I'm guessing that was going to be a non-starter. I'm not going to lie, I feel like they could have used a slight cameo Ice Cube. If Ice Cube came out and just did like 30 seconds of It Was a Good Day, I thought that would have been like the icing on the cake. I thought I'm glad they didn't do any fucking holograms. I was hearing rumors of Tupac hologram and Eazy-E hologram.
That would have been rough. But yeah, I agree. Cube should have been in that thing somewhere. He should have been a special guest. Came out and did We Be Clubbing or something.
Yeah, West Side Connection, that
would have been righteous.
Yeah, but now you said it though. I do want to follow up on it. Do you feel? And we've even despite it being very lean on the hip hop side, you feel this is the greatest halftime show ever?
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
That's factoring in Michael Jackson and Prince.
Well, I mean,
I was gonna say, bro, that MJ halftime show is a tough one to beat.
I mean, anything Michael Jackson has ever done has been completely epic, right? But at the same time, again, it's like Mike. Everybody loves Mike, but does everybody really love Mike? You know what I'm saying?
But if you want to talk about universal appeal, though, that's
glorious. Oh yeah, no, especially at that time. Global.
Michael Jackson, right. The Rose Bowl.
At that time, yeah, that was great. But far as like just the overall show, something for everybody, I think this was the greatest halftime show ever.
I thought it was excellent. I think I would put it at very good. That's where I would rank it, would be at very good. By the way, I've seen a lot of comedians have been roasting other comedians for this. Relax with the 50 Cent jokes. I saw you even type of put some on your story about it. Cut it out.
People don't realize, one, that when 50 Cent, before he turned upside down, he did a pull-up.
He had to pull himself up to do that.
He did a pull-up, a tuck-up, put his feet around that bar, and hung down and started rapping. Then, when he was done, he dropped the microphone, reached up, grabbed it, and pulled himself down. Yeah, he's a little bit bigger than he was 19 years ago, but I guarantee y'all, fat asses can't get up there and do that shit. Come on, man. Like, everybody got jokes, bro. Like, everybody want to make jokes. 50 Cent, 95 Cent, 75 Cent. Yeah.
Right.
The motherfucker rich, and he's in great shape still. You know, he might not be in the shape he was when he was boxing, but that's what the fuck he was doing before he started rapping.
Right. 19 years ago. The man's 46 years old. That was when he was 27, and he was cut, and he's still swole.
Right.
So, cut it out, man.
Fuck out of here.
Cut it out, man, with all that. And finally, JB, with some review reaction news. Speaking of the greatest genre of them all, we went on when, you know, at the time we really talked about this album. I think even, you know, previous to the man's untimely demise. But on this day in 2018, the late great Nipsey Hussle's Victory Lap album came out. What is your favorite song and why from this classic album that we very much enjoy and still do enjoy?
Oh my god, man, I want to say that Dedication is probably my favorite song, but at the same time,
it's tough to
pick. It's grinding all my life, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, come on, man, like, sucker, I'm like, I can listen to this shit and not change a song, right?
It's pretty much flawless.
Yeah. And then Victory, and of course, Victory Lap, you know what I'm saying? Like, that set the CD off like crazy. Like, it is a classic album, right? You know, it's a complete body of work. And we talked about it in detail, you know what I'm saying, when it first came out. But shout out to the late, great Nipsey Hussle. And blessings to his kids and his late wife, you know what I'm saying, Laura London. And, I mean, it's just, you know, it just makes me sad again just to think about the fact that man ain't here, you know? Because when I got this album and I listened to it, Benny, you already know. You know, I was in L.A. at the time. So, I mean, I bumped this album for like 2 weeks straight. It never left. Never left, you know what I'm saying, my speakers. You know what I'm saying? It was coming out of my speakers for 2 weeks straight, bro. I ain't want to listen to nothing else, right? So, and still to this day, I mean, I just posted a video on my Instagram page, a workout video, and was playing Dedication because that was the song that was needed. You know what I'm saying? That was needed. It needed to be right there.
Facts.
So, yeah, again, man, rest in peace to the late, great Nipsey Hussle, man. Shout out to the 60 Crips. Shout out to the Crenshaw District, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Crenshaw High School, Big U. You know what I'm saying? All my folks over there. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, and all the bad that goes on over there, it's a lot of wonderful black people and positive black people over there. And I want to send them shouts out and make sure that people understand that there's a lot of great going on in the hood that just gets overshadowed by all the bad.
Which he was working on, and I know is still going with his business partners, the Vector 90 project for young black entrepreneurs in tech to be able to get funding and have an incubator system to be able to bring their ideas to fruition.
Right.
Just with the album, sold 53,000 first week, which, I mean, considering the era, it's still a modern era album. That's a lot. Number 4 on the Billboard 200, number 4 in the country, was nominated for Rap Album of the Year, should have won. I can't remember what won, but it got completely robbed, and it went platinum. I'll tell you what, I know you're pretty similar to me, where on the workout playlist, you want to keep it fresh and you want to keep new stuff on there, but there are certain staples, there are certain classic or recent songs that just you can't remove them from the playlist. They got to stay on there. And I'm telling you right now, on my workout playlist, Victory Lap, Dedication, Hustle and Motivate, Status Symbol 3, and Grinding All My Life are still on my workout playlist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Since this album dropped,
yeah.
My favorite song fluctuates for me. It was Dedication. It still very much is. But honestly, I don't know. There's something about Status Symbol 3. Because number one, Buddy's feature is excellent. I think he did all three with Buddy, who's another really dope LA artist.
Yeah.
But something about Status Symbol 3 just kind of hits right now. But like you said,
almost
it's basically forgot
what I was doing. Yeah, that like that right there, like, you know what I'm saying? I say that shit a lot. You know what I'm saying? Out of my mouth, and then just in my mind, I think to myself, like, you know what I'm saying? Damn, I almost forgot what I was doing. Almost forgot what I was thinking. What the hell was I? Hey, look, hey, yeah. That's my shit, bro.
Classic,
you know what I'm saying? Classic shit.
Classic shit. Recipe to Nipsey, and obviously the music and his legacy will live on forever. We appreciate you guys, whether you're tapping in, you know, to Washington, Oregon in podcast form. Make sure to follow us at JB and Benny Blue. And of course, if you miss live stream, all good for now. In the coming weeks, the announcement's coming soon, but you can check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Like, share, subscribe, 5-star rating, all that fun shit. Mm-hmm. CasualSports.com, streaming out of Phoenix and the Believe Podcast Network. Our guy Flex will be on next week. All you Suns reviewers don't want to miss it. We're talking Suns, we're talking NBA trade deadline, the whole shit, All-Star break, going into playoffs, everything NBA. We're going in, of course, tapping with JB on Tuesdays, Burning Bridges, live streaming there on Twitter. 6:30 Pacific, 7:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Eastern Time, AAT_ and about the birds. Family and sponsors, man, you see it. You see the goddamn signature. Valley Boys Association. Go to Valley Boys Association.
Them boys.
Use code podcast22 and get 20% off your order at checkout. Of course, tapping with our guy, Dr. Tim Tinkle, the official Lakers correspondent. It's timdebuy.com. If you want a new or pre-owned vehicle, whether you're in Iowa, the greater Midwest area, wherever you're at, text review to 515-444-7003, and he will hit you right back to get you into the car of your dreams. And make sure to follow him at It's Tim to Buy on Instagram. All right. Well, we reached the end of the road. Word to Boys to Men. And we got to get into it. Recapping Super Bowl 56. Them Rams defeat them Bengals here. 23-20 in L.A. Cooper Kupp wins MVP. Burrow had a TD, but he was sacked 7 times. He also was playing on a strained MCL. Good God almighty, they got to improve that line in the offseason. Old Fratty Stafford had 3 TDs, but two picks. Basically a very Matt Stafford game, if you think about it. And OBJ tears his ACL, the same one for the second goddamn time. Ooh-wee. So, JB, your overall, you were talking about a little bit here in the beginning, but your overall assessment of the game as you move around to watch it, baby.
again, if Cincinnati's offensive line was any better, Cincinnati would have won this game. I think that they had every opportunity to win. Even towards the end, they still had opportunity to win. 7 sacks of Joe Burrow. You know what I'm saying? Him getting hurt and refusing, like you say, he's playing on strained MCL, refusing medical attention. Like, man, you know, whatever. I got to finish this game. Excuse me. The kid is amazing. Let's not forget, Jalen Ramsey got his ass flamed on the entire game.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody likes to talk about that, but everybody wants to joke about Eli Apple. But Jalen Ramsey, their top cornerback, got his ass destroyed all game. Jamar Chase, you know what I'm saying, had a game.
I think it was worse than Eli Apple, honestly.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Jamar Chase, you know what I'm saying, the only thing about it is Jamar Chase wasn't getting in the end zone, right? But, and then Eli Apple gave up a touchdown, you know what I'm saying, to Cooper Kupp at the end. I mean, but, you know, let's be real. Jalen Ramsey got his ass dead in, you know what I'm saying, the whole fucking game. But shout out to the Bengals, you know what I'm saying, and the work that they were doing, and you know what I'm saying, they put in work, you know what I'm saying, right there, you got his ass did in, you know what I'm saying, Buddy Debo his ass, Higgins,
that was the uncalled face mask to, you know, to give him a little bit of credit. That was the uncalled face mask.
Fuck out of here, you know what I'm saying. They were letting him play the game. They were letting him play the game rough and raw the whole game, for real. They was playing the game rough and rugged and raw the whole game, and like the great Tony Dungy said, and I'm glad he said it because he's a man of integrity. He's a man who has, you know what I'm saying, the opinion that he has the right to have that opinion. The referees pretty much let everything slide until the last minute or so of the game. Yeah. Right? Yeah. When 55, the linebacker got called for that pass interference, that was some great, pure coverage. Point blank, period. Right? Then they got saved and they had to call it again, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that the Rams got into the end zone. Let me start talking about, you know what I'm saying, conspiracy and all that shit. But bottom line is this, right? If Cincy's offensive line would have been better, Cincy would have won that game. Period. Right? Period. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, the Rams did what they need to do to win. I give them the credit. You know what I'm saying? They won the Super Bowl. They got their rings coming. But if Cincy's offensive line was better, they would have won that game, no matter what nobody thinks, says, or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you actually, you know, we're watching the tape and if you're really intently paying attention. I know it's Super Bowl. It's obviously a different vibe than any other game. But really, neither team could establish the run. I mean, shit, if you look at the rushing stats here, Joe Mixon had 15 carries for 72 yards, and his longest run was 14. And then you look at Cam Akers, he had 13 carries for 21 yards, and his long was 8.
I mean,
neither team could really, and by the way, people are asleep on the Bengals defense front seven. They're dogs over there, too.
They got better as the playoffs went along. They started to discover and really find themselves in the last 3 or 4 games of the season and then into the playoffs. So that's dangerous when you start to gain momentum at that point. But if the Bengals would have leaned on the run a little more, they'd have been successful, even with that bad offensive line. If they would have just leaned on the run and tried to stick to it, especially beginning of the game, I really think they could have. See, the thing about the Rams is that they'll die. They'll lay down and die, right? Because they're a bunch of front runners. So if you pound their ass and just bust their head and bust their head, bust their head, and they don't play very well from behind. So I really think that Taylor should have been a little more aggressive with the run and play action in the beginning of the game. Run and play action in the beginning of the game. You know what I'm saying? Burrow getting out and running a little more, you know what I'm saying? And that way it'll slow that rush down, you know what I'm saying? Keep them from jumping around and, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth, make them lane, keep their lane integrity. Like, this is like deep. This ain't football 101. This is football, you know what I'm saying, grad school football here. I'm talking. So, I mean, but, you know, if it was a fifth and everybody, quote, unquote, is a genius in hindsight, but I was saying this shit watching the game. So, it's no big deal. So, yeah, congratulations to the Rams. You know, got that W. That's that. But it is what it is, huh?
Yep. Cooper Kupp had a couple touchdowns. Joe Mixon threw a touchdown in this one. Cooper Kupp tried to throw one that sailed over Matty Stafford's head. I mean, look, Stafford got his ring, 26 for 40, 283 yards. But it was a very, like, Stafford game. Like, he made like, a couple excellent no-look throws, but he also threw a couple picks, one of which got tipped, but the other one that he really should have thrown.
I predicted 2 interceptions by Matthew Stafford. I knew he was going to throw 2 picks.
You did. He threw a couple. So it was a very much a Matthew Stafford stat line. A lot of stats, good amount of completions, got some TDs, but also made some mistakes that could have cost him had a couple other things not went their way. And I guess just kind of looking forward, as you see there at the bottom, I mean, OBJ tears the ACL for the second time. I know he came in late in the season, obviously, as we kind of joke, but it's true. I mean, the Rams, hey, as you said with the picks, they can definitely be overrated, particularly on where those picks actually go. Mm-hmm. But most teams aren't going to the Super Bowl back-to-back. So when you're looking at the Rams and you're looking at the Bengals, what do you think needs to – there's because there's always something that needs to be improved. So when you look at both teams, what do you think needs to be improved for both teams?
The Bengals O-line, that's like Stevie Wonder could see that.
You need an exorcism for that shit.
Yeah, real rap. And they need to do their best to keep their receiving core together. Like, that is a dominant receiving core. They got three guys that can whoop anybody they play against, man on man, one on one. But they just got to seal up that offensive line, man. I think everything else is pretty much intact. I mean, even Eli Apple, I mean, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He played well enough to start all year. You know what I'm saying? They never thought to bench him. So, and as far as the Rams go, they're going to need to get some better cornerbacks, to be honest, because Jalen Ramsey, yeah, he's great, and he can move all over the place and all that shit, but if 99 gets hurt, their defense is done.
Yeah.
They're nothing, you know what I'm saying? Like, to be completely honest, if 99 gets hurt, their defense is complete trash, right? Because he wreaks havoc even when he ain't making plays. He's taking up two blocks, three blocks, right? So other guys can get free. So they need to get another dominant interior defensive guy and probably a better linebacking core. You know what I'm saying? The white kid, the linebacker, is decent, but he got exposed a lot this year. So they need one more linebacker who can cover probably better, because the white kid is more of a thumper inside linebacker type cat. You stop the run. Reader is his name. Mm-hmm. And they need... I mean, I know Matthew Stafford will probably be there, you know what I'm saying, until he retires, to be honest. I mean, he's McVay's type of guy.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, they got pieces, you know what I'm saying? They'll probably keep OBJ, they'll rehab him and have him bring him back and get Woods back. And, you know, they don't really need to do much, to be honest. They probably need to get a couple offensive linemen themselves.
Right. Whitworth's probably going to retire. I mean, as he should.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
40 years old. I mean, yeah.
Damn, he need to retire. Shit. Whit, let it go, big dog. You know, you did your thing. You did it for a long time at a high level. And yeah, so they're going to draft a left tackle. And then other than that, I mean, shit, whatever. They're good.
Yeah, because you saw they basically brought in Eric Weddle on the fly, and he was sort of like a stopgap. I mean, he's going to retire. I mean, it's probably over for him. And you're right. I mean, that, you know, you look at that front between you got Aaron Donald, you got Vaughn. Maybe they bring Vaughn back, I guess. Floyd, Gaines. Yeah, got like the playmakers there, but once they get past that first level, then it becomes an issue with it. They need that playmaking safety for sure, and some better mm-hmm. linebackers that can cover for sure. Because like you said, injury. Nobody's missing injury, but if Aaron Donald's out for a 4 to 6 week period or something,
they are done. Defensively, they are done. Seriously.
Yep. But it was a very entertaining game.
It was great. It was a good game. You know, a really good game.
Yeah. Across the board. And to your point, I don't think – were there any flags definitely not in the first quarter, I don't think. I mean, maybe like two penalties in the whole first half?
I want to say it was like six calls the entire game. That was amazing.
So the pace of the game was good. It was a good offense. It was good offense, good defense. I would have loved to see more of a running game for both teams, but overall mm-hmm. was good. And the halftime show was good. Mm-hmm. And the commercials for the most part were pretty solid.
They were nice.
Pretty solid as well.
Really good stuff.
Yep. So there it is, folks. RIP to the 2021/2022 NFL season. And you know, around here, we do what we call our savage picks. JB and I pick all the way from week one, all the way to the end of the season. We had a bye week in week 11, and the time has come. I don't even remember what the stakes are. I was trying to listen to past episode. I'm trying to remember what the stakes are. I know that we're owed a Miami trip, so
I guess we're going to Miami, so fuck it, yeah.
Yep. So, the time has come for the official, unofficial Savage Picks winner for 2021-2022, and with an extended... drum roll, please. I've done it again. 171.99-1. JB is at 165, 105, and 1. Our best weeks were pretty close to each other. I went 14-1 in week 15. JB went 13-2 in week 17. Our worst weeks were oddly enough the same week. I went fucking 0-4 in the divisional. Good God Almighty. And JB went 1-3 in the divisional.
Well, Matt, though.
Most picked team was the Mafia. I thought it was actually the Packers or the Bucks, but turned out it was actually the Bills. The least picked team, well, wouldn't you know it, the team with the number one draft pick this year, it was the Jags. Yeah. I want to thank Dr. Bridges for being a gracious sport in the many years that we've been doing this, our savage picks. You know, JB took some risks. I took a few risks, of course. Me betting my kitties that added more L's than it did wins. I wish his Cardinals would have held up at the end of the season to make good on some of those picks. Right. But nonetheless, it was a fun season. This is actually despite how my squad did, I kind of knew it wasn't going to be that great. But honestly, JB just obviously this is our peak time of the year. This is our favorite time of the year. Just your overall feeling and thoughts toward the 2021 NFL season. How did you feel about this year of football? Just overall.
I think it was one of the most competitive football seasons ever. Right.
I agree.
It was very unpredictable. It was extremely unpredictable, especially in the playoffs. Right. And then, it was just a great competitive football season. I don't think there were any bad games, and that's the greatest part. And I said at the beginning of the year, I said it's going to be the most competitive game season of football in a long time, and it was. And it was very entertaining. So to the football fan, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, all these games were good, right? And I think this is probably, if we go back and look at statistics, this is probably the one season that more games than any football season has ever been where games have been decided by a touchdown or less, right?
Yes.
Overtimes, yes. Like on Monday night football, like, I mean, no, we had some great things, man. Like, we had some wonderful things go on in this year's football season. So, shout out to the 2021/2022 season. Phenomenal season of football. Hopefully, we can get the same thing for the 2022/23 season.
Yeah, and I think what made it excellent, honestly, is I think across the board, for the most part, I think we saw a lot more. I think we saw a lot more consistency from a lot of these teams in all three phases, right? Because I think, up until this year, obviously football is usually just good as a baseline, but I think it was better because I feel like now where you've seen these last few years with like the Patrick Mahomes and these high-powered offenses, it almost seemed like the defense was like lacking in a lot of ways. Whereas I think this year, I feel like defense has finally caught up to the tape, so to speak. And we saw some good special teams play as well. And also, I mean, the Bungles are living proof. The NFL has more parity and opportunity to win than any other professional sport.
If you
think your franchise is trash now, Jaguars, Jets, whoever, don't worry. You make a couple right moves, you can be sniffing a Super Bowl literally within 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw what happened with the Bengals. I mean,
watch out for them kiddies, bro. You know what I'm saying? With y'all, boy, y'all got a head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, now, like, now we got the culture. Now we just need to play.
Y'all gonna be dangerous next year. You know what I'm saying? Go playing in Detroit gonna take on a whole new meaning.
I'm glad
we ain't got y'all next year. Shit.
I mean, hey, the record speak. As reviewers know, since we started this podcast, the kiddies have had the Burgang's number. Ooh wee, outside of one tie.
Shit.
Oh man. So yes, I really enjoyed the season. I'm sad it's over, but hey, we haven't talked about it in our patent production meeting, but We're getting another crack at spring football, JB. We're getting the USFL. 10 teams, I think. 8 teams? Mm-hmm. 10 teams?
8 teams, 10 teams. I think, yeah.
8 10 teams. Teams? Yes. Yeah. USFL, follow our advice. I know JB has said as much as well. Please become the G League for the NFL. Do not try to compete with these MS.
Right. Don't rival them. Just be the little brother. You know what I'm saying? Be a supplemental league for them. Yes. Right? Please. Because that's what's going to make the NFL that much better. It's going to continue to get y'all money. It's going to keep y'all alive. Yes. Right, people are gonna look forward to it. Yeah, people are gonna look forward to it, right? And it's football, and keep it real, make it real football. Don't be trying to do dumb shit and be like, oh, we're gonna do this with the 10-yard line and kick off. Nah, fuck all that. Right. Make football football, right? Be a supplemental league for the NFL, and it's gonna be a great thing. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. Get in bed with the NFL so these practice squad players can actually play for real and develop. And that's only going to raise the product for the NFL. Yeah. It's only going to make shit
talk
better.
Talk about making shit more competitive.
NFL Europe. You've always talked about NFL Europe.
I miss it, man. I swear to God. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was so great. It was so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, JB, before we get up out of here, you know, right 2 seconds after the season's over, we were talking about it in the intro, People always got something to say about the Hall of Fame conversation after somebody, oh, Aaron Donald's going to retire. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer right now? Look, man, I've had quite enough of this. Richard Sherman, you know, who's not one shy away from his opinion, was unloading his about saying the man was undeserving of Hall of Fame. And at this particular moment, you can make the case. I mean, retire today, Inge? Yes. But here's the dumb shit about this. The man is going to play for probably 4 or 5 more seasons. And I get it. He's cutting a promo saying, you know, the bar for the Hall of Fame is incredibly low. Yeah, but here's the problem with that, Richard Sherman. It's because of people that they let in before this generation of players, right? He's saying, oh, he did nothing spectacular. He's a microcosm of his career. Did good, not great. Made a few wild passes. Made a few facepalm passes. That's definitely true. But the reality is, with where he's at with numbers, is that he's going to crack top 10 in many of these quarterback categories. And what if he goes on to win another Super Bowl or another Super Bowl, right? What if he gets into that? So based on what you're saying, yeah, it's true about how the measuring stick is compared to other decades where it wasn't as of a pass happy league. I get what you're saying, but the reality is your point isn't exactly well taken, because you're talking about the way the NFL has shot themselves in the foot with the Hall of Fame, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I know it's separate from the NFL, has shot themselves in the foot in regards to the criteria that we've talked about with the Eli Mannings and Big Ben on this show about who they're letting in and who they're not letting in. So please, let's stop having conversations about who should be in the Hall of Fame and who's not with cats who are still writing their book. They're still writing their chapter, right? Like, if you want to say the conversation about Brady 5 years ago, when you know he was still going to play for a few years, yeah, that makes complete sense because he's been in the Hall of Fame. But the reality is, whether you're quarterback or whatever your position is, if you're on the fringe and you're still got years ahead of you, you still have time to make your case. So I get what your point is, Richard Sherman, but bro, get mad at the people who fucked it up for your generation and afterwards, not the guys who still might have a shot at being in the Hall of Fame once it's all said and done. And in the words of the great Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say about that. But what are your thoughts, Dr. Bridges?
Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer right now? No. If he retired right now, would he be a Hall of Famer? No.
I agree.
Trent Dilfer got one Super Bowl, right? Come on, let's be completely honest.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
If that's what the fuck we hang on our hat on, no. Donovan McNabb is a Hall of Famer, right? I said on the Burning Bridges last night, there are so many cats that are in the Hall of Fame right now that should not be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not Hall of Famers. They just shouldn't be in there right now. So many greats that should be in the Hall of Fame before a lot of people that are in there right now. It has become a popularity contest. They have kind of made a mockery of it. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, it's like a secret society, right? If you're in and a certain, you know, woo-doo-woo, you know what I'm saying? Like, then, yeah, you get that opportunity. Like, what? Like, this year's Hall of Fame class, I'm like, okay. I was
like, right.
Okay, all right, okay. Not saying they don't deserve it, but not right now, right? Last year's class, same thing. All right, okay. Not right now, though, right? It is what it is. They're going to continue to do what they do. We can have this conversation until we fucking turn blue in the face. But, yeah, like you said, it's been saturated. And that's the issue. It's been saturated, right? So now, if you're gonna, how do you clean up the mess that you've already made, right? Mm-hmm. And it's truly a mess, right? I made last night at Terrell Owens, and I'm not banging on Terrell Owens, but Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer right now. He shouldn't be, right? He shouldn't be. There's no way that Terrell Owens should have been a first ballot fucking Hall of Famer,
right? Yeah, it's like for that's what it comes down to, the idea of the first ballot, right? Like that criteria, that bar is really low. For what does that even mean? Your first ballot. So what is your criteria? You put up a lot of stats. I mean, how did you actually affect winning? That's the part that kind of trips me out as far as the criteria for getting into the Hall of Fame. And it almost kind of goes back to the point of what we were talking about earlier with what Emmett Smith was saying about the Hall of Fame, where it's like, yo, y'all haven't done anything yet. Like you throw these words around. He's goated, you know, legend, all this type of shit. The bar for calling, and it's not even just football, the bar for calling somebody a legend is so fucking low. It's crazy, right? And it just, that's what we have to recalibrate our meter to figure out what really constitutes a Hall of Famer and what constitutes someone who had a very good career, but otherwise, is not going, shouldn't be considered a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, they can be, if they want to be a Hall of Famer in their hometown, get a field named after them, then great. They're probably the best player that ever came out of that particular area. But the reality is, to the point of that kind of, I think Richard Sherman was trying to make, that, yo, y'all got to stop with the Hall of Fame talk. And that's what I'm trying to implore to him and others that are having these conversations about, let these guys play out their careers. Well, that's it. We lost JB here on the stream here for now, but reviewers, we appreciate you so much. Follow us at JB and Benny Blue for all your social media needs. Make sure to follow us on our individual socials, JB73, KingJB73, and me at Benny Blue Eyes. Of course, tap in on podcast form, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, like, share, subscribe, all that good shit. We are on casualsports.com, KSRNAZ.com, live streaming there out of Phoenix. And the Believe Podcast Network got a whole slate of dope podcasts that you got to check out. Check JB out on Tuesdays. Boyning Bridge is live streaming, 6:30 Pacific, 7:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Eastern. AT Sports _ and All About the Birds. And of course, tap in with our sponsors, Valley Boys Association Clothing. Go to valleyboysassociation.com and use podcast code podcast22 for 20% off your order at checkout. And of course, it's timtobuy.com. Get you a new or pre-owned vehicle. And of course, if you have a sponsorship, questions, or hate mail, get at us, jbandbennybluereview@gmail.com. And that's it. It's been episode 213 of the JB and Benny Blue Review. And until next time, we are out, people. Peace.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.